You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
And I want you to ask any teacher how they feel this year, and I'm sure that they will tell you that they have never experienced anxiety like this, because it is like we are trying to protect our students from a mass shooting that we know is coming but cannot do anything about. Except we can do something about it. It's just that not everyone agrees that wearing a mask will stop the onslaught of students and staff who are likely to become sick, and that makes me sick. And in the meetings that I have been to since we've been back, I hear teachers planning like regular, but I also hear them having conversations about finding affordable attorneys so that they can make a will.
Teachers considering making a will because they have to go back into classrooms and maybe the kids are not under a mandate wearing a mask. This is August 18, 2021. Those remarks from a Texas teacher upset that Governor Abbott will not mandate masks in the schools. And I'm sure she and many of those all pushing for the mandates for the mask for children, young children, are probably very happy to hear that Governor Abbott of Texas has come down with COVID. But he's okay. He's been vaccinated. He's one of the breakthrough cases now. So see, even when you're vaccinated, it's still going to come around. He's isolating, as he should at this point. But this teacher identifies herself as, quote, a blue dot in a red state. Is she truly frightened, as you see and hear on that audio and that video, or is she acting? I'm going to give her the benefit of the doubt that she's truly concerned in all of the warped information that she's been gathering and the push to put fear into people. She's bought in full. I will stress to you again, you need to make the decision that you see for you and your family. But if your family has decided, we don't want to get masks, we don't want them on our faces of our children all the day they're in school, especially younger ones, and we're not going to get vaccinated for our kids at this point, that's your choice. Of course, now we have some states and others stepping up, and some school districts inside Texas saying, we're going to force it anyway. We're going to have more on COVID and its developments and reference teachers and how they're doing. Now, that teacher went on public social media to express her views. There's another teacher from Utah that was caught on camera, and she apparently knew she was being recorded and didn't really give a damn because she's going to do what she wants. It's her class, as she said, and she is on a rampage, and she is clearly pushing indoctrination, political indoctrination, and she's a chemistry teacher, supposedly. We'll have that for you. Biden, of course, blaming Trump for the chaos in Afghanistan. You have to keep in mind, it was public the Taliban was sweeping across the country, seizing 30% plus of the country before they got to Kabul. We could see that all happening. It was documented. So last night, former President Trump was on Sean Hannity and was asked, what would you have done if the Taliban had violated your agreement and seized even 5% of the country?
We would have hit them very hard. Again, the words are conditions, plural, conditions based. It was an agreement where actually we wanted to get out by May 1st and they violated the agreement. So we didn't. It's a great agreement from a lot of different standpoints. And frankly, Biden didn't have to even go by that agreement.
That's right. Look what he's done with the other agreements, our stay in Mexico policy and opening the border. He's thrown all those out. But this one, he said, well, I was handcuffed by Trump by this agreement. No, you weren't. And in fact, if Trump had still been in office and they started making that move across the Afghanistan before they ever got to Kabul, as I just described, he would have responded. He said we would have hit them and made it. He said, I told the Taliban leaders I was talking to, we will begin by hitting your villages. So you keep that in mind. He also points out that as he invited the Taliban to the White House for a meeting, Then they decided to kill a U.S. soldier. And he said, I canceled that meeting. They thought they could deal by that kind of stuff. We're not going to do that. But Biden claims, oh, I couldn't do anything about it. I was just stuck with it. And, of course, when it comes to the evacuation plan, Biden said it's not going to be anything like Saigon 95. Trump says, and I agree, this is even worse. This is the most humiliating thing we've seen. We're also going to be joined by James Carafano of Heritage Foundation on how Biden's blunder will fuel Islamic terrorism. It's like a match to gasoline. We got a lot to cover the next 2 hours. Let your friends and family know we're on the air. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
If you have mold in your home, your family can get very sick. You need to call Wellington Environmental. Realtors, even hospitals and doctors call Wellington to solve mold issues. A Belleville homeowner discovered mold. Good thing he called Wellington. The mold is gone, and Wellington's new chemical process saved him $3,500. A university was facing some major mold issues. They called Wellington. Issue solved. The university saved $40,000. Wellington also helps research and test new products to deal with mold. Call 314-644-4930. 644-4930. A-rated by the BBB, Missouri and Illinois. Say you heard about Wellington on Larry Connors USA. Save $100 on any mold treatment or $50 on mold sampling. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental. This segment of Larry Connors USA is brought to you by my friends at John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest prices. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
I don't think in all of the years our country has ever been so humiliated. I don't know, would you call it a military defeat or a psychological defeat? There's never been anything like what's happened here. You can go back to Jimmy Carter with the hostages. We all thought that was a great embarrassment, and we were pulled out of that by Ronald Reagan. This is many, many times worse.
Those are the words of President Trump last night, appearing on Sean Hannity, talking about the Biden execution of a withdrawal plan from Afghanistan. We're going to break down a lot of the comments the president had to say last night in this hour and the next hour. There's a lot of material here to cover. And as you heard in the opening monologue, we're also going to, in the final hour, going to focus on some remarks out of teachers, one purposely knowing they were being recorded because they put themselves up on social media to make some points. And another teacher apparently may have known she was being recorded, but she didn't really care because she's in the process of indoctrinating her students. She didn't care if you knew about it. Well, we're going to expose all that. So those things are yet to come in this program. But all the focus right now has to be on Afghanistan and what's going on. There's a report of one American family in Afghanistan that escaped thanks to a retired Special Forces colonel, that he stepped in some way to help them. And first photos of U.S. troops on the ground in Afghanistan, those we just sent in, are now being released. There's also video of the Taliban violently breaking up a protest in eastern Afghanistan. I mean, they don't like the protest, and they're going after them in a violent fashion. But what do we get from the Biden White House? Well, the Biden presidency is still kind of washing around in the tide, I guess. The president is back, He cut his vacation short. Thank God he decided this was more important than him staying on vacation at Camp David. He came back to the White House yesterday. Wasn't supposed to come back quite that soon, but he's going to show you I'm back here and I'm going to be in charge. He came in the other day after nothing from the White House over the weekend as all this Afghanistan was coming undone, especially in Kabul, and nothing from the president on camera directing his remarks to the American people and to the world. Nothing showing incompetence, incapability. You choose the adjective you think best describes it. But then he did come, got in front of the microphones at the White House, made a statement, and turned on his heels and walked back and went back to Camp David. So sorry we had to interrupt your sleep time at your vacation, sir. I will ask again. I'm telling you, I still wonder if he could not go on camera for a few days over the weekend because he was on some kind of meds of some type. And, of course, you would expect Trump to criticize Biden. But it's not just Trump. I'm looking at a quote from Senator Bob Menendez, chairman of the Foreign Relations Committee. Senator Bob Menendez, Democrat of New Jersey. The quote, "I am disappointed that the Biden administration clearly did not accurately assess the implications of a rigid, U.S. withdrawal." Then the House of the Armed Services Committee member, Congressman Jim Langdon, Democrat, Rhode Island, also berated Biden's withdrawal as, quote, "a catastrophe," noting at minimum, the Biden administration owed our Afghan allies of 20 years a real plan. And Senator Tom Cooper, Democrat of Delaware, Democrat, said the drawdown, quote, "should have been carefully planned to prevent violence and instability and to ensure the hard-fought process and progress gained over the past two decades." And we can go back and forth and argue and point fingers right now, but the reality is we have many still in danger over there. Pentagon estimates that they're going to try to get 22,000 Afghanistans out of the country, that Afghans who could be at risk, try to get them back into the U.S., and, of course, we have the Americans still there. The numbers we're getting are kind of conflicting. We're getting from 5 to 10,000 from the Pentagon, and they're talking about just the ones on the outside ring around Kabul because the Taliban has surrounded the airport and they can't get through. Trump, of course, said we got a lot of people still in danger. And if you recall the other day, Biden was saying, no, this is not going to be another Saigon 75. We're not going to see helicopters lifting off with anyone from our embassy. Well, Trump said, look at what we have now. The president talking about we have those who are still in danger and the optics from Afghanistan are absolutely frightening.
You're dealing with thousands and thousands of Americans and others that are stranded and very dangerously, really stranded in Afghanistan. So it's something that you can't even believe that a thing like this could. I looked at that big monster cargo plane yesterday with people grabbing the side and trying to get flown out of Afghanistan because of their fear, their incredible fear, and they're blowing off the plane from 2,000 feet up in the air. It's nobody's ever seen anything like that. That blows the helicopters in Vietnam away. That's not even a contest. This has been the most humiliating period of time I've ever seen.
And I think most of us would agree with them. In the meantime, the Biden White House is admitting that they're depending on the Taliban to help evacuate Americans and give them safe passage to the Kabul airport. Just six weeks ago, Biden said, we don't trust the terrorist organization. Now we're trusting them with Americans' lives. So what? We're now going to call Americans in hiding and say, members of the Taliban will be coming to your house. You can come out of hiding. Go with them. They will take you to the airport. Get on their pick-em-up truck or whatever they give you, and they will take you to the airport. You know what it reminds me of? The Nazis rounding up Jews and saying, get in the cattle car. We're going to transport you where we can take better care of you and give you a place to wash and clean up. And then when you're there, well, you need to take off all your clothing and, of course, go into the showers. There were gas chambers. But President Biden the other day, when he did come out of the groundhog territory cover of the vacation and actually went back to the White House from Camp David, he stood there and made it very clear he was in charge.
I am President of the United States of America, and the buck stops with me. When I came into office, I inherited a deal that President Trump negotiated with the Taliban. The choice I had to make as your president was either to follow through on that agreement or be prepared to go back to fighting the Taliban in the middle of the spring fighting season. We were clear-eyed about the risk. We planned for every contingency, but the truth is, this did unfold more quickly than we had anticipated.
You think it did unfold? And that point that I am the president, the buck stops here, but my hands were handcuffed by this agreement Donald Trump had with the Taliban. Trump was asked about that on Sean Hannity last night. His response nailed it, just absolutely nailed it.
This has been the most humiliating period of time I've ever seen. Yeah, we had a great deal. We worked on it very hard. Mike Pompeo, a brilliant guy, and many others worked on it endlessly. Meetings with the Taliban. Of course, you have to meet with the Taliban. They're the ones that you're negotiating with. I spoke on numerous occasions to the head of the Taliban, and we had a very strong conversation. I told him up front, I said, look, before we start, let me just tell you right now that if anything bad happens to Americans or anybody else, or if you ever come over to our land, we will hit you with a force that no country has ever been hit with before. A force so great that you won't even believe it.
You won't even believe it. And of course, he said, that's what I told the Taliban leaders we were speaking with directly. And they did not do anything. They didn't do anything. When some of them were invited to the White House for a meeting, well, then somewhere along the line, somebody decided to kill a U.S. soldier, and because of that, Trump canceled that meeting. So we're not going to negotiate like that. You can't say you're going to the White House and kill a U.S. soldier. The meeting's off. So the Taliban stuck back to the agreement the best they could and hide whatever violence they were creating anyway. But the moment it was apparent that Donald Trump was not the president and we had a new president, they started making their plans. You think they just thought this up, oh, I don't know, maybe a couple of weeks ago while sitting around just say, what can we do? What do you want to do? No, they had it in plan. They said, we're looking for the timing. And they knew Biden was going to be weak. Certainly weaker than Trump. That's why they suddenly started rushing across the land, grabbing up, as I say, 30%+ of the country before they ever turned on to Kabul. And yet Biden told us we've all got it under control. And do you remember Matt Zeller, former CIA analyst, Army vet, appearing on MSNBC? And he said, for them, well, let me correct this. He did not say reference Biden blaming it on Trump, but what he did say is Biden had information. He had the intel of what would be needed and what to expect, and no one would listen.
I have been personally trying to tell this administration since it took office. I've been trying to tell our government for years that this was coming. We sent them plan after plan on how to evacuate these people. Nobody listened to us. They didn't plan for the evacuation of our Afghan wartime allies. They're trying to conduct it now at the 11th hour. I'm appalled that he thinks we only need to take 2,000 people. There's 86,000 people who are currently left behind in Afghanistan alone. We've identified all of them for the government. I have no idea why he claims that people don't want to leave Afghanistan. I have a list of 14,000 names right now of people who want to get out of Afghanistan.
And the pictures from Kabul the other day, climbing on board a plane on the outside, even jumping into the wheel well while it's on the tarmac, thinking that was a way they could get out of their hellhole in Afghanistan and get to safety before the Taliban got to them. You don't think those people wanted to leave? We heard Biden the other say, well, a lot of Afghans just didn't want to leave. Well, who the hell were you talking to? The Taliban at that point saying, no, we're fine to stay here. We want to stay and use what we've got here because it's going to be run the way we want in this country going forward. I don't know who they were talking to, but he stood there the other day and just defiantly said, I am the president. The buck stops here. But my hands were tied by Trump. I mean, I was, oh, my God, he had a leash around my neck. He had me wired to a taser. I mean, they were going to shock me. They were going to basically torture me if I deviated from his plan. And everything else Trump had signed off on, the Paris Accord, the stay in Mexico policy, and other things of that nature, he just said, well, to hell with those. But we got American citizens here inside Afghanistan, and we did not plan to effectively get them out. And U.S. officials are privately warning it's going to be challenging to go forward with what Biden wants to do now. We'll get into that. And also, again, Trump telling you about one of the meetings they had scheduled until the Taliban crossed the line. They knew better than to cross the line with Trump.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
I had a very, very strong talk with the Taliban, which I consider to be much more important in this sense because they were the problem. And they've been there for a long time and they're good fighters and they fight hard. And after I said that, we had a pretty good conversation. Now, I have to tell you that if you remember when they were coming to Washington to meet with me, they decided to kill an American soldier because they thought that was a good way to negotiate. And I canceled the trip. And we had a conditions-based agreement.
A conditions-based agreement. Yes, Trump had said we want to have our troops out by May 1. He had announced that while he was still president. And if he had remained president, if they start doing what they've been doing over the last few days with the Biden administration, there would have been no rush to get anyone out prior to May. I mean, if they'd been doing it during that period of time. So when Biden says, oh, my hands were tied, he drew down the forces. There were something like 20,000 troops in theater, and he pulled out all but 2,500. And when we wanted to start moving folks out, we had to send more troops in to help. There's intel coming out from various sources that are pushing back against a White House narrative that the sudden fall of Afghanistan to the Taliban caught the administration off guard. And as you heard a few moments ago, former CIA analyst said, I was among those telling this administration, if you don't do this right, it's going to be a disaster. Well, that's what we have. In the meantime, Biden is still pressing to have all U.S. troops out by August 31. Yes, he has sent in more, adding to that 2,500, at least 6,000, maybe 8,000 more troops. The numbers, I got to tell you, you got to keep a close watch because what you hear and see reported might be duplicated, might be added slowly in so you don't catch it. But as he adds more in, he's still going to get more out. Now, we're told that 4,000 U.S. troops on the ground right now in Kabul, 2,000 more expected to arrive. That would be 6, in addition to the 2,500 there. But the president's still standing by his decision. Biden's standing by his decision to withdraw all U.S. troops by August 31. See, they wanted to have that optic of 9/11. We are all out. 2 on the 20 years after the date of our attack against us on 9/11, we are out of Afghanistan. Look what I did. Yeah, we're looking at what you did and how you did it. And we've got Americans scattered across Afghanistan that are now apparently going to have to rely on the White House to say we're sending Taliban to pick you up. Don't worry, they're going to pick you up and they're going to safely transport you to the airport. What would be your reaction if you're over there and you've been huddled, hiding, and women in particular don't even show your face? What would you do if the Taliban came to your door and knocked and said, President Biden sent us here to take you safely to the airport. Would you please come with us? And there are already reports that the Taliban have been going through homes, searching. No, they don't need no damn search warrant. Looking for anyone who has ammunition or guns of any type, taking them away from them. They're not going to turn at this point. And in fact, Afghanistan is going to become a bigger hotbed for terrorist activity than it was previously. Everything Biden has done and the way he's done it has embarrassed us to the world, made it shown we're weak, ineffective. We're no longer the nation, the beacon for the rest of the world that we will protect you, because a lot of these countries that rely on us, Taiwan, Hong Kong, what do you think is going through the back of their mind? What if China starts moving in? What the hell is Biden administration going to do? Oh, I know. I've already got it. I think I've got it right in front of me. Here it is. I'm looking at the Biden presidential schedule on, I think he will be, yep, it says star right here, the little star that says, if China moves on Taiwan and Hong Kong, I'm going back to Camp David for another vacation. All right, I just, or do I? Do I? When we come back, we're going to have James Carafano from the Heritage Foundation. He wrote an excellent piece, which I want to get into, about the fact how Biden's disastrous decision has emboldened Islamic terrorists, and many more subjects I want to touch on. Please stand by.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
I'm sure many of you do enjoy entertaining guests. I mean, it's your nature to be hospitable, but we all draw the line at unwelcome guests. You know, those that come in tramping around, oh, they're 6 feet, 8 feet, more. And when that happens, you do not want to delay. Call Rottler Pest Solutions immediately. Now, I started using Rottler more than 30 years ago because I wanted professionals. Rottler knows what is needed, and at the same time, will make sure that your family and pets are safe. Rottler's still family-owned and operated for 3 generations, protecting homes and businesses. 3 generations. That's impressive. So when you want to safely, expertly get rid of ants, spiders, and other critters, call Rottler Pest Solutions, 877-ROTTLER, or you can check their website, Rottler.com, 877-ROTTLER, 877-ROTTLER, Rottler Pest Solutions, Rottler.com. It's a fact that Ackerman Toyota is improving the local community. Jay Ackerman had a vision, and you can see the Ackerman Toyota dealership created a beautiful showplace at Hampton, just north of Interstate 44. Ackerman Toyota, sponsoring the next segment, new or pre-owned. Ackerman Toyota, for life.
I've been holding it so long, I've been sleeping all alone, Lord, I miss you.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Glad to have back on board James Carafano, the Heritage Foundation, expert in national and international security and affairs. James, welcome aboard again, sir. Hello, Jim.
Hey, my friend. Good to be with you.
Oh, good. Are we having a party there? Should I be there?
We were just meeting at an embassy, which shall remain nameless about an issue that you're probably familiar with.
Ah, okay. I might be able to figure that out, which might be a focal of our, what we're doing here. You had a piece you wrote the other day I want to get to, but before I get that, we're told by Biden that the White House is working with the Taliban to gather up any American citizens in Afghanistan and go peacefully with them, and they will take you to the airport. Your reaction?
Well, I mean, certainly so far, not just the U.S., but other foreign countries as well have said that the Taliban have been permitting foreign citizens to go to the airport. You know, what I don't know is, you know, did we pay a price for that? Can we play a bounty or a ransom or something? Or are the Taliban just being nice guys? And is this the Taliban just kind of watching us embarrassing the shoe out of the country? Or are they actually, you know, some people say this is the new Taliban, the Taliban have changed.
Do you buy that?
Oh, of course I don't. I think the new Taliban is just as bloodthirsty as the old Taliban. And the reality is, look, even if some of these guys are not bloodthirsty, murdering terrorists, the reality is who knows if they're actually running the country or if they will be running the country a week from now or if anybody will actually listen to them. I mean, I'm old enough to remember the Iranian Revolution. And after the revolution, they came in and they said to America, okay, we finally got the Shia, everything's fine now, you guys can come back. And then, of course, the radical elements, you know, pushed the revolution far to the edge. And all the Americans that went back to the U.S. Embassy because they, quote unquote, told they were safe, they wound up being hostages and having, you know, being blindfolded and living in a basement for
Jim, stay where your signal is very good and strong there. Whatever you're doing, stay where you are. Okay, so you said, yeah, as to you don't think it's going to be new and improved. Well, as we were talking, I just saw a piece come across out of the U.S. Embassy in Kabul advising American citizens the U.S. cannot ensure their safe passage to the airport.
Well, look, this is the thing is, who knows how this really is going to play on the ground? And even if some Taliban spokesman gets on the phone with, you know, Jake Sullivan and, you know, gets him away from his, you know, his tea time break and says, oh, yeah, we guarantee the safety of Americans, who knows if that will actually happen on the ground by the Taliban? And there are lots of American, lots of people spread all over the country that are not in the capital. How safe are they going to be? But this is just the first crisis. Look, even if the Taliban are awesome guys, and they drive everybody there, and they give them, you know, water and Gatorade. The reality is that's just the first crisis to get through, is getting the out of the country. Then we've got we know it's going to be a sanctuary for terrorism, and we know that the Taliban victory is going to inspire Islamist terrorists all over the world. So then we have to get ready for possibly another wave of global transnational terrorism. And then behind that.
Yeah, now I want to get into that because that's part of the article you wrote as well. But before we do that, we're seeing here that I'm looking at some response from some of the officials trying to advise Biden. There's privately warning that Biden's still trying to get this August 31 deadline. He's sending another 4,000 troops in. That's going to add the 2,000 that were there the first in, and then the 25. So we're going to have about 8,000. But he still said we're going to have all the troops out by August 31. He's just bound and damn determined, come hell or high water, we'll be out of Afghanistan by 9/11, and won't I look great? But I'm like you. I don't know how many Americans are still going to be in jeopardy and are even as we speak.
You know, and here's the irony. You know, people say, oh, my God, the cost and the sacrifice. Well, we had 2,500 troops there. We were spending less in a week than we used to spend in a year. And I don't think there's been an American casualty in the last year and a half.
Nope.
So to get out, Biden is sending in way more troops. This evacuation is going to cost way more than it did to just keep the troops there. And we're going to lose tens of billions of dollars in equipment and bases and everything else. So ironically, in order to spare the Americans and make us safe, Biden is wasting way more blood and treasure running away.
Yeah, and to that extent, supposedly they have the controls and the keys to all the accounts and so forth, so that all the money is still in their hands. And supposedly we're putting a freeze on our nation for any money that the Taliban might have in different accounts spread through here. But you raised a point in the very beginning. Did we give them something? I mean, I don't know of any plane loads or shipment of money overnight in unmarked bills, small currency spread across them, but I wouldn't doubt it. And if they get their hands on this additional money, much less the weapons we left behind, those weapons they can put out on the black market. I'm sure the Chinese are already in there looking at our Black Hawk and figuring out how to go against those and drones in the future.
Well, you know, here's a great irony, my friend, which is because of the way you could say, I didn't want to be in Afghanistan or to leave or whatever, but because of the way President Biden decided to leave, and because of our friends, the Taliban, on the 20th anniversary of 9/11, the Taliban will control more money, they will control more territory than they did on 9/11. They will have more money than they did on 9/11, and they'll have a much bigger and more powerful and well-armed military than they had on 9/11.
And the Taliban flag will be flying over what was our U.S. embassy. And as you pointed out,
they will be dancing in the hallways.
Yes, and as you point out in your article the other day that you classified so we could wind up with another terrorist Disneyland in Afghanistan.
Well, and it's not just Afghanistan. It's the whole symbolic defeat of the United States by the Taliban, which we've already seen. Hamas, the Islamic Jihad, Al-Qaeda, we've all seen them like trumpeting this information. So this is essentially a clarion call to Islamists worldwide that, you know, Osama bin Laden's dream has finally come true. America has a paper tiger. If we will attack them, they will, you know, drop their arms and run away. And so, you know, we had, I would say 30 days ago, a global transnational terrorist threat that was about zero. And in a few months, we could be right back where we started. Remember, the guys who controlled the place where 9/11 was planned are now controlling the place where the next 9/11 could be planned.
Excellent point. And to that extent, there's another side you brought up. Our NATO allies who've been there helping us with Afghanistan, you point out they've got to feel, you say, misused. I'd add the word abused by the Biden administration.
Well, first of all, not only, you know, Biden said we're back, we're consulting, we're engaged. He made this unilateral decision, and he didn't consult anybody. And he started running away without really telling anybody. So our allies have been caught trying to evacuate their own people, and they are not happy with us. And quite honestly, many of them are doing a better job of getting their people out than we are of getting our people out.
Another issue.
You know, you talk to embassies around town, and they will tell you every other country is scrambling to deal with this. When they call the U.S. government, nobody answers the phone. Do you know that Kamala Harris goes to work at between 9 and 9:45 in the morning, and she doesn't work weekends? And this was at the height of the Afghanistan.
Yeah, plus now she's planning now she's planning a trip to Vietnam. That should be put on the back burner right now. One other quick thing I want to get into. Afghanistan, supplying about 80% of the world's heroin and opium. And there's fuel money for the terrorists moving forward as well.
Which is why people that say, oh, that's okay, we'll threaten to withhold aid or whatever. They don't care about aid. They don't care about recognition. They can find money. They care about power, and they have power now, and it was taken away from them once, and they're going to work really hard to make sure it never happens again.
James Carafano, the Heritage Foundation, in our closing minute here, you pointed out in your piece that there are really no do-overs in foreign policy. And the Biden team dealt itself this hand. Of course, Biden has been saying, I am president. The buck stops here. But Trump. And Trump last night on Hannity said he could have broken the agreement. He's broken every other agreement I had. But you add at the end, the Biden administration may have shot itself in the foot, but there's no excuse to sit there bleeding.
Well, the number one thing they got to do is get the people out, get the Americans out, get the allies out, get the refugees out so we don't have another Iran hostage moment. That's just job. And they got to do that as fast as they possibly can. Then they have to be prepared for this resurgence of transnational terrorism. And then, look, they have to start looking around and saying, Russia, Iran, China, they all have a deep interest in Afghanistan. How are they going to exploit that? And how are we prepared to deal with that? So there's a lot of bad things that are going to happen because Biden made it harder for America to do everything it was doing in that part of the world. And those things aren't going to stop. And they are going to plague him throughout his administration.
Jim, as always, I appreciate your time, and we thank you and for your expertise, sir.
We'll be many more chats.
Sorry about the chaos. That happens when you try to do these things from an unexpected location.
I know, but I do appreciate it. Thanks, James, very much. James J. Carafano, you bet. James J. Carafano, Vice President of Foreign Defense Policy Studies at the Heritage Foundation. You follow him on Twitter at JJ Carafano. Coming up, do you really trust that we have an end answer and solution in the Biden administration for all this? Or is it just roll the dice and just hope? I don't like that gamble. My personal choice for Italian food, Cafe Napoli. Now, sometimes I want steak, fish. Hey, try the sea bass. Perfect. Plus a worldwide selection of wines. Cafe Napoli's mission is to serve you only the best. Cafe Napoli sponsors this next segment. Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Town and Country, and now the streets of St. Charles. Cafe Napoli.
Can run on for a long time, run on for a long time, run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
I want you to keep something in mind, and I can't stress it enough, because you know how the state-controlled media would have reacted, or then mainstream media, when Trump was in office, if he had just disappeared at Camp David for a weekend on vacation during all such this debacle going on in Afghanistan. First of all, we never would have been in the mess we currently have. And Trump made it clear that he told them, he said, here are the agreements. It's a conditional agreement. And you hold your end, we'll hold it as well. But if you violate it, you will pay hell for it. Even telling one of the Taliban leaders, we know where you live, so we will start with your village. If you recall, and you can't avoid politics, but I'm not really focused on so much politics. I'm trying to focus on what is best for our nation. Democrat, Republican, Independent, whatever your religion, your color, your ethnicity, can we just look at this as a nation and know that we've got thousands of Americans right now trapped in Afghanistan, and we don't even know how many. The Pentagon estimates 4,000 to maybe 6,000, maybe 8,000, maybe 10,000 inside Kabul. And outside and around Kabul, we don't know. We just know they can't get through because the Taliban has encircled the airport. And yet they tell us, well, we'll give safe passage to anyone that needs it. That's what they're saying. But leadership. Just absolutely forget Biden's a Democrat. Just put that aside for a moment. Riddle me this. Does it make sense? Are you willing to accept? Are you just saying it's okay for Biden to be AWOL basically for 4 days, making no calls to world leaders while all this was happening, after just saying a month ago it will never happen like this? They won't do it. They're not the North Vietnamese Army. It will not be another Saigon 75. It won't be. And he's at Camp David on vacation. And finally, after the weekend, because he had to be getting hounded by even members of his staff saying, you got to get out and say something. And he makes a trip to D.C., steps in front of the microphone, makes his statement saying the buck stops here, but I'm blaming Trump, and then basically gone again, right back to his vacation. And James Carafano, my guest in the last hour of the Heritage Foundation, saying, and Kamala comes in basically banker's hours. And I have a lot of friends who are bankers. I'm glad you have those hours. And she doesn't work any weekends. And, of course, now she's planning a big soiree, and I'm calling it a soiree, to Vietnam and the Philippines. It's a shopping trip. Oh, I know they're going to put it under the guise of, well, she's going over there to work on our relations. She didn't resolve our relations right now with the Northern Triangle and Mexico and all the illegals coming and still running across our border and forming caravans. She didn't resolve that. So now, what could she tell Vietnam and the Philippines as to how to do business in international affairs? Well, you know, all of her folks around her say, oh, she's pretty smart. She knows this stuff. I don't think many of you buy that. We are looking at more information coming out reference the Afghan ambassador to Pakistan. He's a former he was for the Afghan ambassador for the former Afghan president Ghani, and said that I need help from Interpol. We need to arrest the ex-head of state Ghani. He says Ghani fled the country after the Taliban soldiers got to the city limits of Kabul, then appeared on national TV in a pre-recorded speech claiming he was working to reconstruct the military, Afghan military, even though he's already gone. And the ambassador says Ghani left the country with $170 million that he was rapidly stuffing suitcases with cash when he heard the Taliban's at the gate, or at least at the outer limits of Kabul, and attempted to take as much of it as he could, but not all it would fit in four cars and a helicopter they took with him. So the Afghan news agency says they're requesting Interpol to detain Ashraf Ghani. In the meantime, we were talking a moment ago about our border and all the illegals coming across. The Biden administration making it clear that they are using planes not to get Americans out of Afghanistan, but to fly Central American migrants deep into Mexico under Title 42. That's what they claim they're doing. And the illegals continue to be a super spreader, but you got to mask your kids up. You want to hear what a teacher has to say about that in the next hour. Stand by.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors, USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.